Let's read from Psalm 89. Psalm 89. The word of the Lord says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord of hosts, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? For to thy faithfulness round about thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are thy habitation, are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, that shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my God, my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. As we read down through here, I want you to especially note verse 7. Tonight, by God's grace, I wish to show you and me again the exceeding riches of God's grace. Verse 1, chapter 2 of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will guide our minds, our hearts, our thoughts to Your Word, to Your Son. By the power of the Spirit of God, we ask for Your help. Only You can make this Word of God powerful, quick, and a matter of faith. We pray, Father, that You would do Your work here among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, just before that, it says in verse 7 of Ephesians 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And then down in verse 18 of Ephesians 1, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And verse 4 of chapter 2, again, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Tonight, let's see if we can see the exceeding riches of His grace. God's grace to you and to me. Peter said it this way, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. David said it this way, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, He is rich unto all that call upon Him. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said in chapter 8, verse 9, that through His poverty ye may be rich. Isaiah said it this way, I will give thee the riches of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. And then, of course, Paul talked about the riches of the goodness of God, and that goodness leads us to repentance. Paul said in Romans chapter 9, verse 23, that He might make known the riches of His glory upon the vessels of mercy. And then he said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Paul talks about in Colossians all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. And then what about Moses? Esteeming the riches of Christ, reproach of Christ, greater riches than that of Egypt. And Paul said of himself, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. To show means to point out, to set a display. He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us to all ages, to all generations. He's going to show His riches of His grace and kindness to us. He's going to point it out. And He's going to point out the riches of His grace, the riches of His love, the riches of His mercy. This is going to point them out to. Well, first of all, according to the Word of God, He's going to point them out to you and to me. He's going to make us know what His riches of His grace really is. Then He's going to point it out to the Father, but you know, the Father knows everything, so we're going to look at that just a little bit. But one day, we're going to stand before the Father. The world might be pointing to us and saying, they don't deserve to be there. They shouldn't be there. I'm a better person than that person is. But because of the riches of His grace, the Lord Jesus points and says, they're mine, the ones you gave me. I brought them here. They're yours. And then, I'm going to point out the riches of His grace to those goats, to the reprobates, to the lost in a certain day. And that's the gist of my message of what I want to share with us tonight. He points out the exceeding riches of His grace to His people. Salvation is of the Lord, isn't it? Salvation is of the Lord. It's sovereign, free grace that comes to us, that the Lord has made known to us. He became poor for our sakes that we might be rich in Him. And Jesus Christ, if we get nothing else through all of this, Jesus Christ is the riches. I don't care what other riches you might talk about, but Jesus Christ is the riches of His grace. He's the one that we're going to see. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's the gift. He's the gift. Paul said, He's the prize that I strive for. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's the prize. Our Lord told several parables of the kingdom, and two of the parables, He said, in one there was a treasure hid in the field, and another there was a pearl of great price. And in either case, someone sold everything they had to buy that piece of property to get that treasure hid in the field, or sold everything they had to get that pearl of great price. He's the treasure hid in the field. He's the pearl of great price. We were talking this evening among ourselves, and one of the things that people talk about when they think about going to heaven, they're going to see their loved ones, they're going to see this person or that person, and whatever. There's only one person I want to see.
Amen.
All the other become, I mean, we might know who they are. I'm not sure of that. We might know who they are. We might know some of the saints that have gone before. We will know, because out of heaven came Elijah and Moses. Surely we'll know them, and so on. But I only want to see Him, my Lord. I don't want to build a tabernacle for Elijah, and I don't want to build a tabernacle for Moses. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to worship Him like I have never worshiped Him before. My body of flesh will be gone. My new nature will spring forth into new life, into flesh and blood body that will sit before Him, and I'll never hurt Him again. I'll never sin against Him again. I'll worship Him then and there in spirit and in truth. Is all I want to say. He's my pride. Many things that we can say about the riches of Jesus Christ and what He has done, and I could list a whole bunch of them here, and I will. I'm going to go through just a few of them, but I'm sure that I have missed all of them, because the half has not yet been told. Wonder what it's going to be like when we sit at the feet of Jesus and we get to hear all the rest. Not only to hear it, but finally to understand it. All the rest. You see, He is our substitute. There's a richness that we enjoy, God's people enjoy. He's our substitute. He took our place for us. We deserve to die and go to hell. And he took our place and died for us and took the wrath of God upon himself. He is our substitute. Not only substituting that way, but the other way as well. He declared us, made us to be righteous. His righteousness. God's righteousness. He's the double cure. He saved from wrath and made us pure, the songwriter said. He alone satisfied the Father. He alone is accepted of God. He fulfilled the law. He lived a perfect, righteous life. He is the only sacrifice for our sin. And he is the one who sanctifies his people, who, as we talked about last Wednesday night, he calls them, he justifies them, he glorifies them, and he forgives them through the blood that he shed, the shed blood, the blood that was due you and me, he shed, and through his shed blood, he turns around and forgives us all our sins. There's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We're forgiven, redeemed, and forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. He made us heirs and joint heirs with him. How rich is that? He made us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means everything he has, we'll have. Everything. Wow. All he is, we are. He will never leave nor forsake his people. Brad spoke about that this morning. What a wonderful message. He is the anchor of our soul. He is the forerunner that went into glory for us, before us, and there interceding to bring us to him. One day, whether in actual death or in calling up to glory, we'll hear these words. Come up here. Come on. The riches are waiting. I prepared you a place. It's a mansion. And it's big enough to house everybody. A number that no man can number. I prepared it for you. He's our surety. He is our Savior and our deliverer. How do you point that out? How do you show that? You show it through the preaching of the Word of God. You show it. Our pastor shows it to us every service here. The preachers who come and speak to us show it to us in every service. They show us the exceeding riches of his grace. They preach to us the gospel. Here in Ephesians 1 verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Word of God, the Spirit of God, if you're a child of God, one of those that are elected before the foundation of the world, God will make sure you hear his word. God will make sure the Spirit of God will give you life. It'll happen. It'll happen. Because he calls men to come. Do they come? Some do. He calls men to follow. You remember the Matthew there? Follow me. Matthew left his publican stable, all of his money, all of his tax receipts, and everything. He just left them right there and followed Jesus. He walked down by the seashore and he saw Simon and Andrew there. He said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They left their nets, left their father, left their ships, and followed him. A little later on, he found James and John doing the same thing. And he said, follow me. And they left everything and followed him. How many followed? He calls us to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe this incredible gospel that is preached here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and in other services of our brothers and sisters around the United States here? Do you believe it? Some do. Some don't. Do you hear it? The hearing ear, the seeing eye is of the Lord. Do you hear it? Do you hear God's word? Do you hear the voice of Jesus Christ who said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me"? Well, if he calls to come and he calls to follow and he calls to believe and he calls to hear, and I haven't said all the calls that are there, but if he calls these things, what are you going to do about it? I'll tell you what I do. Every morning when I wake up, I start calling, "Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming to you. You're my only hope. I have to have you." I follow him. "Lord, whatever you want me to do today, you just let me know. I'll do it. I believe him. I trust him. All my eggs are in one basket," as Brother Todd said. "I'm trusting him. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." And I sit there and sometimes I have my Bible with me. Sometimes I'm just thinking of scripture, thinking of verses, and I'm listening to his voice every day. I have to have his mercy. I have to have his mercy. Oh, Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, when the Word of God is preached, according to the scripture, Romans chapter 10, there's at least three miracles that take place. There's probably many more, but there's at least three miracles that take place. One is regeneration. You won't hear if you're dead. You have to be brought to life. And the Spirit of God brings to life. There's regeneration, and then there's the hearing, which is of the Lord. And then there's faith to believe. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Picture with me a crowd of religious people. They have heard a message from a deacon, and it pricked their hearts. It made them mad, so mad they were gnashing their teeth. And they grabbed up this deacon and they took him outside the city wall and they threw him up against the city wall and they picked up stones and they started stoning this deacon. And as he was dying, he said, "I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand." They couldn't take that away from him. They could take his physical life. They could rock out his eyes. They could cause his hearing to cease. They could kill that body, but they couldn't do a thing about what he saw. "I see Jesus." By the way, that's the only time that Jesus stands in eternity future. From the time that he's been seated at the right hand of the Father, the only time he stood in Scripture was when Stephen was ushered by the angels in glory. I sort of think that Stephen didn't have a monopoly on that. That when Herman gave his last breath, the angels picked him up and brought him right where Jesus was standing. The first thing he saw was his love. He saw his riches. He saw the riches of his grace. It was the person, Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to see something here with me about showing the exceeding riches of his grace to his people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." One day, we're all going to be ushered to the judgment seat of Christ. We'll look at another passage here in just a few moments, but the Lord will separate the tares from the wheat. The Lord will separate the sheep from the goats. And as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, our Lord, who by his grace has saved through faith those sheep that are standing with him at the right hand of the Father, he advocates for them. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our lawyer standing there. The world may be saying things about us, like I said before, and probably true things. You know that so-and-so that's standing in front of you right now? You know what he did? You know how he lived? You know what he did to me? You know how he spoke to me? Why, he doesn't deserve to go in there. I have an advocate, a lawyer standing there, and he's pleading for me. And you know what he says? He looks at the record God gave of his son and says, all his sins are paid for. He's been made the righteousness of God. You can accuse him all you want. It'll do no good. My lawyer speaks up and says, but I'll go you one better. He's not only my lawyer there, he's the judge sitting on the bench. And he cracks down the gavel and says, not guilty, righteous. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. That's what the judge will say. He's the judge. But I'll go you one better than that. I am in him. I'm in Jesus Christ. I'm in the lawyer, the advocate. I'm in the judge sitting at the bench at the judgment seat of Christ. I have no reason to fear. I'll have boldness in that day, the scripture says. I'll have confidence in that day, the scripture tells me, because I am in Jesus Christ, and he's accepted, isn't he? He's accepted. God loves him, so I'm accepted, and God loves me. That's what the judgment seat of Christ will be like for God's people. That's some of the riches, the exceeding riches of his grace. And he points out to the Father, they're all here. I haven't lost one of them. Every one of them is here. There's a number that can't be numbered by us. But every one of them is here. And Father, I present them faultless, not having spot or wrinkle, holy, without blemish. I'm presenting them to you complete, perfect. If Jesus Christ could be rejected by God, the Father, then so could I. But he's not. He's not. Or ever will be. God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Satisfied. He points this out to the Father. Now, he is eternal God. He knows everything. Here's my sheep. I've not lost one of them, he told him in John chapter 17. I've not lost one of them. I finished the work, and I've not lost one of them. There are eternal riches that we will enjoy. Eternal riches. You know, I got thinking about eternal. We really don't understand that concept, eternal. All we understand is time. That's why you'll hear the preacher say, eternity past, eternity present, eternity future. Past, present, future, that's time, isn't it? We don't quite understand eternity. God who inhabiteth eternity, at any one point, he sees it all. We don't quite understand that. That's, maybe it's just me. I'll just say it this way. I don't quite understand that. That's a little bit too big for this picayune mind of mine. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, that's where time began. One day an angel will step on the sea and one foot on the land and cry out, time shall be no more. One of these days there will not be any time. We sing the song of, when we've been there 10,000 years. No such thing. No such thing. There's no time segments in eternity. But for our benefit, God brought time into play because in due time, God sent his son. And his son finished the work, fulfilled all the requirements, and says, Father, they're all here. The eternal covenant of grace I fulfilled with you. We've done it. Here they are. All your sheep. All your people. Not one of them is missing. Now, if that don't give you hope and joy and excitement in your heart, I don't know what will. And then he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Let me show that to you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. He's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace to these goats, the reprobates, the lost. They'll finally know who God is. Schomburg that wrote the book, The Passover Plot, will finally know. Well, he already does know who God is. He said he just swooned on the cross from the drugs they gave him. No. The atheist will know there is a God. The religious man will know there is a God. As soon as he closes his eyes in death, or God brings him up in the resurrection. Matthew 25, verse 31. And the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That's the same throne, the judgment seat of Christ. It's the same place. The great white throne judgment of Revelation. Same place. God brings them all up together. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, see what he's doing? I'm going to show the exceeding riches of my grace to you guys. The people on the right hand are God's people. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, that gives you assurance, doesn't it? That kingdom has been prepared for us all the way before the world began. It's in the covenant of grace. For I was an hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we? Notice he calls them the righteous. When saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. You've been there for God's people. You've loved God's people. You saw somebody hungry. You fed them. They needed a coat. You got it for them. They were in prison. You visited them. They were strangers. You took them in. You did it to God's people. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. Ladies and gentlemen, they all deserve the wrath of God. We deserve the wrath of God. All standing there deserve the wrath of God. But God made the difference. On the right hand, he put the righteous, those that he had saved, those that he had brought into the fold, those who heard his voice, those who came to him. On his left hand, he put the goats. They've never heard. Oh, many of them think they have. As a matter of fact, for 40 years, I thought I had. I came in here, and after two or three services, I realized I didn't know a thing about Scripture. I didn't know a thing about God. God's Word pricked my heart. I asked Peggy every once in a while, I'll say something to this effect. I wonder why God waited till I was 60 years old before he did anything for me. Well, it was God's timing. It was God's timing. That's when he wanted me. That's when he showed me the Word. That's when he wanted me to have life. But I've always been his. I've always been his. Just didn't know it until I heard his Word. Heard his voice. And then I knew, there's the one I want to follow. And he says to these people, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Do you know there will be some who will argue with the Lord in that day? They'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Didn't we do this and didn't we do that? the audacity of being there and arguing with God?
God will say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. Maybe the saddest words of all scripture, I never knew you. Paul talks about that we may know God, and then he says, yea, rather, be known of God. Are you known of God? Are you known of God? He reveals himself. He reveals his riches. Are you known? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for letting us see again all the wonders, so many wondrous riches that you've given to your people. And we've not even touched a part of all. Thank you for joy, for strength. Thank you for protection. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. But thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, our riches, our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.